Okay, so today we're on Daf Tanis Daf Gimel. Okay, please, I'm beginning the shiur. It's recording. Okay, so today is Daf Tanis Daf Gimel. Let me just do a little hakdama to the Masechta. So the Tanis is obviously about this, and it talks a lot about rain, and then it talks about the Anshei Mama, and at the end it talks about the people in the Beis Hamikdash. You know, there's a delegation of people who have to be in the Beis Hamikdash. For the Korban Tamid, and they had people also in different cities, and they'd be fasting, and they would be praying. And there's a question about the order of the Masechta in the Vilna Shas. So it's Rosh Hashanah Yom HaSukkim. That's the way it is in the Vilna Shas. But here in the Seder Daf Yomi, we follow the order that's in the Mishnayot. So in the order of the Mishnayot, Tanis comes right after Rosh Hashanah. So one connection, which the mention of the Morod Daf Yomi, is the Gemara itself makes the connection between Rosh Hashanah and Tanis. The Gemara says on Mor Aleph, it says Latanmi Rosh Hashanah Salik. The Tana, we're on Daf Gimel, Tanis Daf Gimel. Okay, so the Gemara said that Latanmi Rosh Hashanah Salik. The Tana is referring to Rosh Hashanah. In there, it said V'chag Donim Alamayim. It says that on Sukkot, you're judged for water, for rain, for the water during the year. So that's a segue into our Masechta, which says, you know, when do we mention Baruch Hashem? When do we start saying Mashiach Baruch Hashem? Geshem? Now he mentions here, the Rambam says, Tanis is after Rosh Hashanah, because after we finish the Moedim from the Torah, in other words, we're done with the Torah holidays, so then we have some of the Taniyot were based on Divrei Kabbalah, based on Pesukim from the Vim or the Ketubim. And he quotes from the Melechet Shlomo, says that since on the Taniyot we blow in a shofar, and we see the Pesukim as a kind of shofarot, so Tanis therefore was after Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, there are a number of reasons why Masechet Tanis should be after Rosh Hashanah, which is the way that the Daf Yomi follows that Seder. All right, now, let's just review from yesterday. I'm just going to give a synopsis from yesterday's Daf. We go off today's Daf. So the first Mishnah is discussing Meima Time as Tirin Gur Shamim. When do we begin to say Mashiv Ruach Morid Geshem in our Tefillot? So the Mishnah mentions three opinions, right? So the Mishnah says, the Tanur of Blezer says, Miyom Tov Arishon Shel Chag, from the first day of Yontiv. And it sounds like from the Mishnah, the Reb Lezer holds from the Baal Shachris on the first day of Yom Tov, we'll say Mashiv Ruach Morid Geshem. That's the first opinion. And then Rabbi Yeshua says, Miyom Tov Ha'achron Shel Chag. Rabbi Yeshua says from the last day of Yom Tov, and it sounds like Rabbi Yeshua holds from the Baal Shachris on Shmini Atzeret. That's the way it sounds like Rabbi Yeshua. Then the last opinion in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda says we're going to do a switch over between Shacharis and Musaf on Shmini Atzeret, which is the way that we do it, that the Baal Shacharis won't say Mashiv Baruch Morid Geshem, and the Baal Musaf will say Mashiv Baruch Morid Geshem. Okay? Then turn to Beis Amud Beis. Then you had a Brisa yesterday. So the Brisa mentions even more opinions. First, the Brisa fleshes out the opinion of Reb Lezer. Reb Lezer said that you begin from the first day of Yantiv. The Brisa connects Reb Lezer. He says, Mishat Netilat Lulav, from the time the Lulav is taken. So it seems like, according to the Tana Reb Lezer, Mashiv Ruach Morid Geshem is inherently connected to the mitzvah of Lulav, which makes sense. The Lulav is coming to be Baratza for rain. And then the Brisa says that Rabbi Yeshua says, Mishat Hanachato. Rabbi Yeshua says, from the time that you put it down, which means the time that you put down the lulav, which is the seventh day of Yantiv, but Tosus explains that according to the Tanur of Yeshua, it would mean like on, it either means on Leil Shmini Atzeret or Shacharis Shmini Atzeret, it begins saying Mashiv Ruach Morid Geshem. Then the Tanur of the Braisa mentions other opinions as well. The Tanur mentions that, so this is around 10 lines above where it gets very wide on Beis Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera Omer b'sheni b'chag b'mazkir. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera says, you begin to imash b'ruch on a geshem from the second day of Sukkot. So in Eretz Yisrael would be the first day of Chol Hamoed, you begin saying imash b'ruch on a geshem. Then Rabbi Akiva says b'shishi b'chag b'mazkir. Rabbi Akiva says from the sixth day of the holiday, which would be the day before Hoshana Rabbah, you say Mashu Baruch Mordek Hashem. Then the Tana has one last opinion, Rabbi Yehuda Mishum Rabbi Yeshua Omer, and this Rabbi Yeshua is not the same Rabbi Yeshua we mentioned earlier, and the Gemara is going to identify him as Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. But Yehuda says in the name of Yeshua, they're going to do the switch over from at Musaf on Shmini Atzeret. Okay, so it comes out again. Let's just summarize. So we have, I think, five opinions, right? So one opinion is the Tana Reb Lezer, who says, we say Mashu Baruch Mordek Hashem from the first day of Yantiv. Then just doing kind of logical order, then we have Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateiris says on the second day of the holiday, you begin saying Mashu Baruch Mordek Hashem. Then Rabbi Akiva holds on the sixth day of the holiday, we've been saying Mashu Baruch Mordek Hashem. Then, with respect to Shmini Atzeret, so then we, in essence, have two opinions. We have Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah, who's Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanania. He says, from the last day of Yantiv, which either means from Shacharis or from Maariv the night before, you begin saying Mashu Baruch Mordek Hashem. Then we have Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rabbi Yeshua, which is not a different Rabbi Yeshua, the name of Yeshua ben Korcha, who holds, will begin at Musaf on Shmini Atzeret. Okay? So that's just Aleph Beis. Everybody good so far? Okay, I'm moving on. Now, let's take a look. I'm beginning on the second, on the first medium wide line on Beis Amud Beis. Okay, page four, the first medium wide line. Everybody have it? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira Omer b'shini b'chag u'maskir. Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira says, he begins saying Mashu Baruch Mordek Hashem from the second day of Sukkot. So my tama, Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira, why would I begin saying Mashu Baruch Mordek Hashem from the second day of Sukkot? Now again, you learn, Reb Lezer, we're clear. Reb Lezer says, from the first day, because it's linked to Lulav. So that I got. That's linked to Lulav. Now the Gemara is going to adduce that the other opinions are connected to Nisuch Hamayim. We know that there's, in the Beis HaMikdash, during Sukkot, every day during the year, they would have Nisachim of wine, but on Sukkot, in addition to which, they would have Nisuch Hamayim, the water libation. So, Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira Omer, B'Sheni B'Chag U'Maskir, my time to Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira, the Tani, we learned the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira Omer, Ne'amar B'Sheni V'Neskehem. Now, in the Korbanot, in Parshat Pinchas, there's a certain formula for the Korbanot. So it typically says Viniska, right? That's the way that we, each day says Viniska. But on the second day, it says Viniskehen. They're Nisachim. V'nemar b'shishi u'nisacheha. On the sixth day, instead of saying Viniska, it says Nisacheha. It's Nisachim. And then V'nemar b'shvi k'mishpatam. On the seventh day, instead of saying K'mishpat, it says K'mishpatam, according to their laws. Hare mem yud mem. So he takes it that there's a superfluous mem, a superfluous yud, a superfluous mem. Areikan Mayim. The Mem Yud Mem spells Mayim, water. Mikan Remez the Nisuch Hamayim in a Torah. So that's a Remez, in other words, Nisuch Hamayim. So we'll see. We normally hold Salach Moshe Misina. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira, there's a Remez for Nisuch Hamayim in the Torah itself. In other words, the mitzvah of Nisuch Hamayim is not mentioned before in the Psukim, but there's a Remez for it in the Psukim. So that's the end of the Braisa. The Gemara says on the first white line, Umayshna the Sheni Dinakat. So why is it that he says that we begin saying Mashu Baruch Mordek Hashem on the second day of Sukkot? I got it. He's got the remez for Nisuch Hamayim. Why on the second day? The chiremiz lehu b'kra b'sheni hu d'remizi. That the first appearance in the Psukim, the first appearance of the remez for Nisuch Hamayim is on the second day of Sukkot. So he takes it that it's going to go hand in glove with the Nisuch Hamayim is going to be Mashu Baruch Mordek Hashem. That's the way it's going to go. Hilchach b'sheni matkarinan. Therefore, on the second day of Sukkot, we're going to mention Mashu Baruch Mordek Hashem. That's Rabbi Yehuda ben Mateira. Okay, let's take it down. Rabbi Kiva Mir B'Shishi B'Chag U'Maskir. The Tana Rabbi Kiva says, on the sixth day of Sukkot, we'll mention, means the day before Hoshana Rabbah will be when we mention Mashu Baruch Mordek Hashem. Shenemar B'Shishi Nusacheha. So it says, on the sixth day in Parshat Pinchas, again, in Parshat Pinchas, it mentions different korbanot for each day of Sukkot. That's what makes the Musaf so difficult. You have the Pesukim are constantly changing, and Chutz La'aretz is more complicated because you have 2 days. So he says, B'shishi u'nisachah. On the sixth day, it says, it's nisachim. B'shnei nisuchim ha'ketuv medaber. The Pasuk is alluding to 2 nisachim. Echad nisuch hamayim, echad nisuch hayayin. One is the water libation, and one is the regular wine libation. So he says, ve'ema tarvayu d'chamra. Maybe both are wine libations. How does he know? In other words, he's just focusing on unisacheha. It's libations. So he says maybe they're both wine. Savalek Rabbi Yehuda b'Teira da'amar remiz mimaya. So he, Rabbi Akiva, agrees with Rabbi Yehuda b'Teira that there's a remiz to mayim in the Torah, the mem yud mem that we just went through. So the top line on Gimel Amud Aleph. If Savalek Rabbi Yehuda b'Teira, if he holds for Rabbi Yehuda b'Teira's remiz mayim mem yud mem, name it kavatei. So you should say like him that we'll begin asking Mashi Baruch Hu Geshem on day two. The Savalek Rabbi Akiva tiv nisach b'Teira b'shishi hu d'chiv. He holds that the specific allusion to an extra nesachim is on the sixth day. In other words, in Achinami, I have Mayim. Mayim is telling me that one of them has to be water. But unisacheha, that's on the sixth day. That refers to water, wine, to libations in the plural. Now Rashi points out, even though it says viniskehem earlier, but that will darshan out like their libations for all the different korbanot. That's viniskehem. But this korban, unisacheha, in other words, the korban musaf of Sukkot, unisacheha, it's libations, which one is water, one is wine, because he knows one is water, because his rem is mayim. But in Akinami, it's on the sixth day. So we covered the first day, we said Reb Lezer because of lulav. The second day, which was Reb Yehuda b'Teira, we said because of nisach mayim. And the sixth day, Reb Akiva. And I'll pause just a minute or two. Tani Rabbi Natan Omer. Now, this is a different remez with the Brisa. Rabbi Natan Omer, but Kodesh has saith nesach shefar l'Hashem. It says, but Kodesh has saith nesach shefar l'Hashem. There's another reference to Nisach Hamayim. It says, Bakodesh HaSeif Nesach Shekhar Lashem, like a pouring of a libation. So it's like a double lashon. The Gemara says, Eimat Ravar Dekamer, maybe they're both wine. HaSeif Nesach, maybe they're, you're right, it's a double language. Maybe they're both wine. In Kim Lichto Kra O HaSeif HaSeif, you say pouring the Hesach, pouring like all like the same grammatical form. He says, "My hasech nesach shemina chad d'may v'chad d'cham." So from there, we'll deduce one is water and one is wine. Okay, so we're making our way through the sugya, and we're not done yet. But let me just so we did a few shitot, and the basic ma'alah from the Gemara is the Gemara assumes that Mashiv Baruch Hu Baruch Geshem goes hand in glove with the nisach hamayim. So I hold nisach hamayim begins on day two. Then I'll hold Mashiv Baruch Hu Baruch Geshem begins on day two. If I hold Nisan Kamayim begins on day six, I'll hold Mashiv Baruch Hu Baruch Geshem begins on day six. Okay, any questions, comments, thoughts that we did so far? What's
I
up?
I just
there?
Wanted to know if later in the Gemara they handle why this starts on, as we know, Shmini Atzeret and Vitein Talu Matar starts on December 4th.
Right, we'll come to it. We'll come to all of that.
One has an English date and one has an English date.
All right, we'll come to all of that. Okay,
also,
what's up, Ron Moshe? What's up?
No, I was just going to say that. I mean, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseo, according to Rabbi Lazar, who says the first day, the second day, I mean, if you're going to ask for water, how are you going to sit? If you can have all this rain, how are you going to sit in the sukkah?
All right, that's what the first Mishnah said.
Right.
So we said that first. We're going to hold like the last opinion that we mentioned on Shmini Atzeret, but the other Shmikot will hold that I'm just being Mazkir. I just say the Koach of Hashem that he has a Koach to bring rain. Okay, let me go back to the Gemara. Okay, everybody mute themselves again. Okay, so let's go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, we're on line 8 on Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay, so Ella Hadidan, but now what we learned in the Mishnah Masechet Sukkah, the Mishnah says, Nisa Kamayim Kol Shiva, that Nisa Kamayim is for 7 days. That's what the Mishnah says in Masechet Sukkah. So he says, Mani. So who does this go like? We have a Mishnah that says Nisach Kamayim for 7 days. So who does that Mishnah go like? Yiv Rabbi Yeshua, Neima Chad Yoma. If it's like Rabbi Yeshua, now Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah held that we're just going to begin on Shmini Atzeret. So we assume that it goes hand in glove with Nisach Kamayim. So we assume Nisach Kamayim would only be on Shmini Atzeret. That's what we're assuming right now. Even Rabbi Akiva, if it's like Rabbi Akiva said, I begin on the sixth day, so presumably just day six and day seven he holds from it. It says, Trey Yomi. Even Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, Yehuda ben Beteira says from day two, he says, Shita Yomi. So this whole Malach is not going well in terms of reconciling our Sugya with the way we understand the Tanaim here with the Mishnah Masechet Sukkah that says it's 7 days. So the Gemara says, the Olam Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira he. So the Gemara says, no. In Achinami, the Mishnah over there that says 7 days is reconcilable with the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Terah. Now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Terah said, we're beginning on the second day. We'll see. He says, was here like Rabbi Yehuda de Matnitin. He, Rabbi Yehuda ben Terah, holds like the following Rabbi Yehuda, which is mentioned in Masechet Sukkah. He's going to hold that Nisa Chamayim was also on Shemini Atzeret. So the Gemara is going to say he'll hold from day 2 through day 8, which is 7 days. Okay, day 2 through day 8. He says, Titnan, because we learn the Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah, we're on page 5, 10 lines down. Okay? He says, Dimanitin, Titnan, because we learn the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Belog Hayamanaseh Kol Shmona. Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds, he would take a log of water and do Nesachim for all 8 days. So he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Yehuda is going to be 8 days, but he holds that it was on Shmini Atzeret. Umapik Rishon Amayel Shmini. So we could say that Tana Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera will say the Nisa Kamayim begins on day 2 and continues through day 8, and then I have 7 days, and then that Mishnah would make sense. But the Gemara says, Umayu Shana Rishon Galo. Why is it that day 1 he holds not? He says, the Chiramizi Mayim B'Sheni Hudramizi. Because I saw the remez for water, Mem Yud Mem, and that begin, the remez begins on day 2. He says, Shmini Nami Chiramizi Mayim B'Sheni Hudramizi. But in that remez, the last day of the remez is the 7th day. So if he's following these remazim, he wouldn't hold from day 2 to day 8, he'd hold from day 2 to day 7, which would leave him with 6 days. So if that's the case, we're still problematical. Who does that Mishnah Masechet Sukkah go like? Now, the Gemara could have said it's like Reb Lezer. That seems like the slam dunk, and that's obvious. But the Gemara wants to say it could even be like somebody else. This is Ella Rabbi Yeshuahi. The Gemara says that Tana is going to follow Rabbi Yeshua. Now, Rabbi Yeshua, remember, is the one who holds that you begin on Shemini Atzeret. So the first Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. And our Mishnah, it says, Ella Rabbi Yeshuahi, Benisa Kamayim Kloshiva Hiltata Gemirila. So now the Gemara is having a break with what it thought before. It thought before that Mashiach Ruach Mordegeshen goes hand in glove with Nisa Kamayim. Now the Gemara is saying not necessarily so. That the Mishnah over there is saying that's going to be like Rabbi Yeshua, 7 days. And Rabbi Yeshua is going to hold that we're going to ask for Geshem on Shemini Atzeret. And as far as Nisa Chamayim, he learns it from Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. He says, the Amar Rabbi Ami Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rechuni Ish Bakat Beit Poriton. There's Rabbi Ami said Rabbi Yochanan, who said, or had a Masorah from Rechuniya, who lived in the valley of Beit Poriton. Esther Netiot, our Rabbi Ami Nisa Chamayim, Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So Esther Netiot means if I have 10 saplings that are planted in a field, that's a Beit Sa'ah. Beit Sa'ah is 50 yamot by 50 yamot. I'm allowed to till that land in the 30 days before Shemitah. In other words, Halakha L'Moshe Sinai, that the dinim of Shemitah begin even before the Shemitah year, for 30 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul. But saplings, 10 of them in a field, I can take care of. Now, if there's fewer saplings than that in Beit Sa'ah, I'm only allowed to till around the sapling. I'm like, I can't till the whole field. And if it's more dense than that, then they have to be moved to different places. But that density, I can tell. He says, Arava, which is the mitzvah, take the Arava and the base of Mikdash all 7 days. That's Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. But Nisa Chamayim, the 7 days, Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. So let's go slowly. Let's just digest what we did. Let's just think this all through slowly, okay? So, The other two opinions that we mentioned, which is Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera and Rabbi Akiva, they're going to hold Nisa Chamayim is not 7 days, right? Because Rabbi Yehuda ben Matera is going to hold Nisa Chamayim is day 2 to day 7. So it'll be 6 days. And Rabbi Akiva holds that day 6 I begin, it'll be day 6 and 7, according to Rabbi Akiva. So those two, Nisa Chamayim is a different parsha. We said, according to Rabbi Lazar, we could say that works well with 7 days for Nisa Chamayim. But even according to Rabbi Yeshua, who holds that we begin to ask Mashiach Ruach Mordegeshen on Shemini Atzeret, he, Rabbi Yeshua, can agree that Nisa Chamayim is Halakha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai from day 1 through day 7. And then on day 8, he's going to have Mashiach Ruach Mordegeshen. That won't be related to Nisa Chamayim. It's just that he's just saying that we're going to be Mashiach Ruach Mordegeshen on the last day. All right, let me just pause for a second. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts, or anything we do? Okay, Odeh's got a question, then everybody else will be after Odeh. What's up?
We learned in Masechet Sukkot already that Nisuch HaMayim the whole week is Halachah L'Moshe Sinai. Why are we having
to ask? Yeah, well, again, that we learned that's one opinion. That's an opinion. So we learned that it's Halachah L'Moshe Sinai. So that's like what the Gemara has here. But then according to Rabbi Yehuda Mateira, it's Merumas in the Psukim. And then also there's a Machloket Tanaim, whether it's 7 days or not. That's what the Gemara is adducing here.
It was, I remember we discussed it. But, it's not so long.
Well, but I'm saying that that's one opinion of Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. But according to Rabbi Yehuda Mateira, it's Merumas in the Psukim in the Torah. All right.
What's
the halacha? So we hold this Halacha L'Moshe Sinai. What's up? So I don't know. They could hold Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, but they could hold the Halacha L'Moshe. I don't know. The Korah, they hold the darshing from the Pasuk. The Korah, that's where they're headed from. But definitely not the 7 days. Definitely not the 7 days. Okay? All right. All right. Everybody else good? Okay. We're going to move on. Okay. Now we're at the two dots on Gimel Amud Aleph, midway down the column. Okay? So now, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yeshua. So now we're quoting from the Mishnah. And Rashi says, like, Amar Mar. Like as if, you know, we'd have like Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, and we're going to see that this is not the Rabbi Yeshua that's mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah. In the beginning of the Mishnah mentions Rabbi Yeshua, this Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. He's the one he's mentioned throughout Shas, Rabbi Yeshua. And he's the one who he had like with the Caesar's daughter. Remember the Caesar's daughter? He said that oh, we're going to have it in the second of the Tanis. It's right here. The Gemara has it that Caesar's daughter said to him, how is it such beautiful wisdom is in such an ugly vessel? It says, you know, Chachma Fuah Rabat Li Mechuar. And he says, he says to her, where does your father keep the wine? He says, he keeps it in earthenware vessels. She said, it's not the person of your station. They should keep it in like more expensive vessels. So she puts all the wine in like gold vessels and they all turn sour. So her father says to her, dearest, who told you to do this? He says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Hananya told me to do this. So he summoned him, why did you tell my daughter to do this? He says, she said, you know, how can I have such wisdom in an ugly vessel? So I showed her that with wine, the hozach, and then in the beautiful vessel, you know, basically, I'll just talk to Tantan of Mashi Yishbo. All right, anyway, so that's Rabbi Yehuda ben Hananya. And the second Rabbi Yehuda who we're going to find out is Rabbi Yehuda ben Kortha. So let's see back in the Gemara. So we don't know this yet, but then we're going to see it. True, only Rabbi Yehuda ben Yehuda, Hover the Tanya Teva, Yom Tova, Achon Shachag, Achon Maskir, Rishon in a Maskir. This is the last part of the Mishnah. He said, this is the way we do it. In other words, on Shmini Atzeret, so at Shacharis, we don't mention Mashiach Ruach Geshem. And then in Musaf, we do mention Mashiach Ruach Geshem. Yom Tov Rishon Shal Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, HaRishon Mazkir, then, you know, at Shacharis, we mention Mashiach Ruach Geshem. Achron in Mazkir. Musaf, we don't mention it, okay? And we Ashkenazim, a little different than the Sephardim. So Sephardim announced before Musaf, Morid Atal. And then they stop saying it when they hear the Hakraza. And we Ashkenazim wait for the Chazar Sashatz. And so in our Tzibu Lakash, we say Mashiach Ruach Geshem. Then the Chazar Sashatz, we hear the Shlech Tzibur do Tfilas Tal. And then we understand we shouldn't say it anymore because we're. So we Ashkenazim in Musaf, no. We Ashkenazim in the Tfilas Balakash on the first day of Pesach, in our Tfilas Balakash, we say Mashiach Ruach Geshem. And then in Musaf, we hear the Shlich Tzibur repeat the Musaf, and he says, Tfilas Tal. And then at Mincha, we stop saying it. But Ashkenazim, Misfardim, before Musaf, is a Hakraza, Morid Atal. So they start saying Morid Atal. And we don't want to make a Hakraza just to stop saying Geshem. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, hey, Rabbi Yehoshua, which Rabbi Yehoshua is Rabbi Yehuda referring to in the statement that we just read? If he's talking about Rabbi Yehoshua, who was mentioned this statement, I made a mistake. I said I was quoting from the Mishnah. This is a quote from the Braisa, rather. In other words, in the Mishnah, it just says that Rabbi Yehuda says, but in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says the name Rabbi Yeshua. This was a quote from the Braisa on the base on the base. So which Rabbi Yeshua is he referring to? So he says, if he's referring to Rabbi Yeshua in the beginning of our Mishnah, who says that you mentioned it on Shmini Atzeret. It says, "Ha'amar b'yom tov akon shel chag hu maskir." So he says, you mentioned on the last day of Yantav, the implication being even the Baal Shachris would say, Mashavruch Margeshem. And yet this Rabbi Yeshua holds that Mustaf you flip over. Ella Rabbi Yeshua de Breita, and he says, so must be that he's referring to Rabbi Yeshua, who's mentioned early in the Breisa. So the Breisa says, Amar Mishat Hanachato. He says in the Breisa, he says that Mishat Hanachato, from the time that you put down the lulav, now there's a question in Rashi, this seems to be like the Sefer with Rashi saying, but the Pshat that a number of Farshim say, and Tosho says this, and the in the Hagot Marav, Robert Sal Ransberg says like this, means Mishat Hanachato means, either you'll begin Mashbaruch Monegeshem with Mariv or with Shacharis, but not at Musa. He says, so whichever Rabbi Yeshua he's referring to doesn't seem to be the Rabbi Yeshua of our Mishnah or the Rabbi Yeshua that was mentioned earlier in the Braisa. The two had the Tanya, in addition to which we learn in another Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Ben Betera. Rabbi Yehuda says the name of a Chacham who's identified as Ben Betera, however, the Ne'etev of Yom Tov Akron Shachag, Akron Mazkir. He says the same thing. On the last day of Yantiv, only the Baal Mustaf mentions, only in, not the Baal Mustaf, anybody in Mustaf mentions Pash Baruch HaMegeshem. Mustaf, we mention it. So, hey, Ben Batera. Which Ben Batera is he referring to? Elim Rabbi Huda Ben Batera, if it's Rabbi Huda Ben Batera, Ha'amar B'sheni B'chag Hu Mazkir. So, Rabbi Huda Ben Batera, in the Braisa, he says he began mentioning it on the second day of Sukkot. So, we're confused with Rabbi Yehuda's statement in the name of Rabbi Yoshua, who's Rabbi Yeshua, and then we're confused with the statement in the Braisa, the second Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Ben Batera, he begins saying it in Musa. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, and here the Bach adds on, Tehei Tarvayu Rabbi Yeshua Ben Batera. He says both statements are referring to not Rabbi Yehuda Ben Batera, to Rabbi Yoshua Ben Batera. So when Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Rabbi Yeshua, he means Rabbi Yeshua ben Batera. And when he quotes ben Batera, he means Rabbi Yeshua ben Batera. He says, Zimni dekari lebishmei. Sometimes he would call him by his first name, Rabbi Yeshua ben Batera. Zimni dekari lebishmei da'aba. Sometimes he would call him ben Batera. He says, Vahami kami dusmachu. So he called him by his father's name before he got smicha. This is not talking like our smicha. It means the smicha to judge dinei nefasha. The smicha going back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vahal labatar dusmachu. After he got smicha, he called him Rabbi Yeshua ben Batera. So that being the case, so all our problems are solved. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Batera holds that we begin asking for Geshem in the Musaf of Shemini Atzeret. And that's the way we'll explain the opinion in the Braisa, and that's the way we'll explain the second Braisa as well. Okay, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? What do you mean? It's we're identifying who the person is, but the opinion we had before. Okay, we're right. Rabbi Yeshua ben Batera. Okay, so it sounds like he's brother Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera. I don't know, but it sounds like a brother. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Now we're eight lines from the bottom. Need a small height. Tana b'tal berucho lo chivu chachamim lahazkir. Now, when it comes to mentioning tal or rucho, tal means you know, Morid Atal, and then Ruchot is Mashiva Ruach. Lo Chivu Chachamim Lahazkir. The Chachamim didn't require one to mention either one of those elements. Vimbal Lahazkir Maskir. But if he wants to mention it, he could. That's the Braisa. So the Gemara says, my time. What's the reason why there's no obligation to mention Mashiva Ruach or to say Morid Atal? Because Amr B'Khanil Lefisha Eina Tzarin. So Rukhanina says they're never held back. In other words, Hashem always gives his win, Hashem always gives his tal, because that's essential for the world to exist. Without wind and without tal, the world couldn't exist. That being the case, there's no obligation for us to mention it. So the Gemara says, "V'tal menam lo ma'atzer." How do you know that tal is never held back? So he says, "Dichtiv vayomer Eliyahu hatishbini toshavei Gilad el Achav." Eliyahu says to Achav, who's the bad king, like in Sefer Malachim, they're usually good kings or bad kings, very good or very bad. Achav is the bad, very bad. Yeah. He says to Achav, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, he says, V'lashon Shavua, Eliyahu says to Achav, Shermanis Lepanav, Yeh Hashem Ha'ile, Tal Umatar, Im Lepi Dvari. No more rain is going to call, no more Tal Umatar is going to come down, except Lepi Dvari, except based on my word. That's what Eliyahu says to Ahav. He says, Uchtiv, and then a later pasuk says, Lech Hera'el Ahav, Vietnam Atar al Pnei Ha'adama. Later on, Hashem undoes the decree, and he says, go to Ahav and tell him, I'm going to give Matar, rain. V'ilu tal lo ka'amarle. But he doesn't mention tal. So he says, I'm not going to give tal Matar. And he says, okay, I'm going to give Matar. He says, but it isn't mentioned tal. So my timer, Mishum, top line on Gimel Beis, Mishum is l'ma'atzar, because tal is never held back, and take a look at top line in Rashi, the l'ma'atzar, the olam ha'filu bo'otan shanim. He says, so the top line of the Gemara, b'chim yachar l'ma'atzar, since tal is never held back, in other words, no matter what happens, you always have the tal to do, Eliyahu ishtabui l'amalei. Why did Eliyahu take a shvua that there wouldn't be tal l'ma'atzar if there's always going to be tal? And they said in the article, you could ask a stronger question, why would he take a false shvuah? So he says, Haki ka amar lei. This is what Eliyahu was saying. Apilu tal de bracha nami lavati. You'll have tal, but it won't be tal for a bracha. It won't be like, you know, a good do. It'll be like a bad do. It means Rashi says, Shetzmir from Tzema. In other words, the things grow as a result of the do. So the Gemara says, V'lahadir the tal de bracha. So then when he's undoing the decree, why doesn't he say, well, now you'll get the tal of a bracha? It wouldn't have been discernible, and it would cause Ahav to say nasty things. Like, look at Rashi, the fourth wide line. They always had tal. Ahav would not have conceded that now I have tal of bracha. If he would have said, now I'll give you talamatar, he would like taunt him, oh, we always had the tal. What do we need for the tal? So he left tal out of the equation. All right. So much for that. Now, and as you know, again, so there's a difference between Sephardim and Ashkenazim. Our Sephardic cousins mention in the summer, you know, Moratal, and we Ashkenazim. Okay. Wait 3 minutes, and then I'll open up the floor, and you can say whatever you want to, Dade. Wait 3 minutes. Okay. So the typical Ashkenazi minhag is to say nothing in the summer. And it was between Pesach and Sukkot, we say nothing. That's the minhag of the Ramah. Now, as Dade says, now in Eretz Yisrael, first of all, in Eretz Yisrael, the Ashkenazim were very influenced. In the 18th century, there were Talmidim of the Gra that made Aliyah. And the Gra was an Ashkenazi, but he had his own specific Minhagim. And he laid the groundwork for Ashkenazi Minhagim in Eretz Yisrael. So that has a profound influence on the way Ashkenazim conduct themselves in Eretz Yisrael. So the Minhag of the Gra is to say Morid Hatal in the summer. Then there are some other people, I think Rav Aaron Soloveitchik also held to say Morid HaTal. There are some Ashkenazim who say Tal, but the mainstream Ashkenazi minhag is to leave out everything in the summer. Okay, now what? Look at that. The thing is like this. If you have a minhag here and you go to Israel, you should continue on with the minhag there as well. So if I'm not putting on tefillin, if I put on tefillin a Chol HaMoed, when I go to Israel, even though a lot of Ashkenazim don't put it on, I should continue putting it on. That's my minhag. But everybody has been in Israel has been very influenced by this sort of combination of all the Sephardim there and the Talmidim of the Gra. And I think it's very widespread there that they do say it. I don't know, but a person.
Let's put it like this. You don't say it there. Okay? You don't want to daven in Israel. In Ashkenaz.
All right, let's see further. Okay, all right, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, okay, we're on line four. Now, on line four. Rucho manalan d'loma atzra. So we covered tal. So we brought a proof. Hashem never holds back tal because the world can't exist without tal. Okay, rucho manalan d'loma atzra. How do we know that Hashem never holds back the winds? We said that mashiv ruach is totally optional to say that. Avrishu ben Levi, the Amar Kra, the Pasuk says in Zechariah, Ki cha'ar baruch chor ha-shamayim perasi lechem neum Hashem. Like the arba ruch chor ha-shamayim, which we'll explain, which can mean like the four winds or the four corners of the earth, I've spread you out, Hashem says. My ka'amar lehu, what exactly was Zechariah saying to Klal Yisrael? Ilei mahachi ka'amar lehu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. If he was saying, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, dibadartinchu ba'arba ruchei da'alma, that I've spread you out. Ruchot can mean the four corners of the world, like the me'arba kamkod ha'aretz, that type of thing. Arba ruchot. So he says that I've spread you out, dispersed you on the four corners of the earth. Ihachi ki arba bi'arba mi'baylei. The pasuk wouldn't say ki arba ruchot eshmaim perasi etchem. It would say ki bi arba ruchot eshmaim perasi etchem. I spread you out to the four corners of the earth, if that's what it meant. Ela hachi kamar. This is what the pasuk is saying. Shem sheyif sholi lom below ruchot. Just like the world can't exist without ruchot, without wind. In other words, like I guess nothing would grow, whatever. He says, or everything would be too hot. Kach yif sholi olam below Yisrael. So too, the world can't exist without the Jewish people. Let's see Rashi, and we will explain. The 15th narrow line in Rashi, below Yisrael, she'en olam kayem ela b'tfil Yisrael. The world only exists for the Jewish people. V'hachi amar kura, ki ka'ar b'ruchot eshmaim pirasi etchem l'ruchot ha'olam, in other words, I've spread you out so the world would be sustained. Shnemar lo briti yom v'lai l'chukot shemam v'aretz lo samti. In other words, if not my bris is like a reference to the Torah. So if people weren't studying Torah, the world wouldn't exist and the universe wouldn't exist. So in that sense, like the existence of the Jewish people is vital for the existence of the world. Okay. So it's coming out like the arba ruchot hashemayim. It's coming out like the winds, just like the world can't exist without the winds, so can't exist without the Jewish people. All right. Now let's see a little bit further, and then we'll take a little pause. So Amr Chanina, Reb Chanina says. So that being the case, so he said, "Tal, it's like no harm, no foul. Whether I say it or I don't say it. Ruach, mashiv ruach, no harm, no foul. Whether I say it or don't say it." So Amr Chanina Hilka Chibot HaChama. What HaChama means during the summer, Amar Mashiv Ruach Imachzir Oto. If in the summer I say Mashiv Ruach, just those words Mashiv Ruach, I don't have to go back. Amar Morid Hageshem Machzir Oto. But if he says Morid Hageshem in the summer, then we make him go back on Kishmon Esrei. Yimot HaGeshamim in the winter, Lo Amar Mashiv Ruach Imachzir Oto. Let's say I be davening now. And I leave out Mashiv Ruach, but I say Morid HaGeshem. And somebody would ask me, do I have to repeat Shemona Esrei? And what's the answer? No. That's right. Today, Matzir Oto. Lo Amar Morid HaGeshem, Matzir Oto. But if I didn't say Morid HaGeshem, then I have to go back. Lo Od, Ela Filo Amar, Ma'avir HaRuach. Even if I said, you remove the wind, U'mafriach HaTal, you chase away the Tal, which is false, Ein Matzir Oto. We don't make him repeat Shemona Esrei. All right. Let's look at the Tosfos for a minute, and then we will talk. Okay. On the top, there's only this big Tosfos. Yimot HaChama Amar Mashiv Ruach Emachzir Oto Amar Geshem Emachzir Oto Aval In Delay Shlo Amar Lo Geshem Velo Tal Ein Machzirin. He says this means in the summer. In the summer, if he didn't mention Geshem in the Mishtal, we would make him go back. Okay, this is what we did. Okay, you see, Morda Tal in the winter, you don't have to go back. Here's the key. Now, let's say he's Besupak, whether he said Morda Geshem in the winter. He says, Imeinu Zachur, and he doesn't remember which way it went. And he says on the side, In the Bach, he made us a chorus of Amar Shum Devoy. He's not saying anything. Bimod Hakshamim, in Kol Shloshim Chazak Amashu Lamud Hu Omer. So for the first 30 days, the presumption is he's following what he's routinized to do. He says Machzirin Misafik Kol Shloshim Yom. So according to Tosfos, means like this. Let's say I begin on Shmini Atzeret, and now it's a week after Shmini Atzeret. I can't remember whether I said Mashu Baruch or Negeshem. So for the first 30 days, the presumption is I said what I was accustomed to. So I was accustomed to not saying Morda Geshem. So presumably, I didn't say it. Then I have to go back and repeat Shemona Esrei for the first 30 days. He says, Now, Tosfos, of course, we don't follow this. Tosfos says that the same thing would be true for, you know, for like Zachreinu and Michamocha and Tobachim Tovim that we say from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. So Misafek, I'd have to go back. We don't make people go back and repeat it. If you remember before the Chatzimus Bracha, you go back, but otherwise, we don't go back for that. Now, this is just one minute, and we'll do only sheets. We'll talk. Now, with the Mashiach Baruch Negesh, I spoke about this at great length between Gemara, and you can listen on YU Torah. I have a piece on Mashiach Baruch Negesh. First, you should know that it's based on Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yochanan, is speaking to the Talmidim, and he says, for the first 30 days, the din is this way. So the Chasam Sofer wants to say that it's not, in other words, the presumption is that 30 days is 90 times. That's the way the presumption the post can bring down, that 90 times does it. But the Chasam Sofer wants to say that it's really 101 times, and that Rabbi Yochanan was speaking to Talmidim from Bavel. And he has the cheshbon that if you figure out the second day of Yontiv and all the Shabbos is in between and Rosh Chodesh, it works out to 101 times. I think he makes the cheshbon like with Pesach. That's one sod. But even it's starting 90 times. But there's a sheet of the Maharam Ruttenberg says that a person on Shmini Atzeret could accelerate the process. The Maharam Ruttenberg says, if on Shmini Atzeret, I say Mashiach Baruch Hu Negeshem 90 times. So now I've already established my propensity, and I've adjusted myself. And there's a song people have that they sing with Mashiach Baruch Hu Negeshem to do it 90 times. I remember one of my rebbeim, Rav Yaakov Rabrovsky. I think he said that in Mir they would do this in Europe or whatever. They were on Simchas Torah they would sing it. Now the Maharam Rundberg. His proof to it is from, sure, I'm going to have to cut this short, but if a short gores three times, he's kind of Nezek Shalem. So Rabbi Yehud derives from Pasuk that if he gores on three consecutive days, then he's a Shor Muad, but not if he would gore three times on one day. And Rameir says, look, if three separate days he's a Muad, one day, if the gichot are separated out, he's chayev. So kirev negichot tavlo koshkein. Certainly, when it's in a shorter interim. So that's his yisod from doing it. Now, Rabbeinu Peretz disagrees with this, and he says that the Rabbanan Kishishe of France never did this. So there's a lot to talk about what the difference is. There are a number of differences between the two, but among the differences are, can you say that first? If I repeat something 90 times, does that mean it works in the bracha? In other words, I'm going to say, I'll tell you what the Hashem Hashem, Mechai Meitim Atharab Loshiyam Ashi Baruch Mone Geshem. Does that mean on the curtain call, I'm going to do it when I say the whole Shemona Esrei? Right? That's different than the Gicho. That may not necessarily be the same way. In other words, the Rabbeinu Peretz disagrees, and they talk in the Beis Yosef why Rabbeinu Peretz disagrees, but that's one possible line. My opinion doesn't agree. Another point is that when we talk about the Shor Muad, is it a Siman or a Siba? This is from Rav Shimon Shkab. In other words, is it, if it gores three times, is that like taking the temperature and revealing that it was a wild Shor? Is that what it is? It's a Siman? Or the fact that it goes on goring, that's what makes it a Shor Muad. That's a Siba. So if it's a Siman, it has no connection relevance here whatsoever. If it's a SIBA, then you can talk about it. Okay, I got to move on. We have very little time. Okay, we have 90 seconds for questions. Yosef's got a question and we'll take. Go ahead, go. If you leave out more to Geshem, you absolutely have to go back.
Is it?
No. It means like this. So Sfardim, in other words, Sfardim, if they're not saying more to Geshem, they're saying more to Tal. So Mordetal saves the situation. Mm-hmm. But for Ashkenazim, who don't say anything, which is the sheet of the Ramah, then we have to go back. What's up?
I want to say that in Israel now, because a couple of Yeshiva Bachurim flew to Israel with their Yitzhak Yair Altspol, and they forgot to say Morida Tal and came bruised back, But the Augsburg this year issued a new blue Yitzhak Yair for Eretz Israel, so the Bachurim can fly safely to Eretz Israel. Mm. You know, so it says my Murid Atal in Ashkenazi. I can show it.
But in other words, if a person's minhag is not to say Morid Geshem, say Morid Atal in the summer, his minhag wouldn't change from going to Israel. All right. I got to move on. Anyway, Aaron Moshe, what's up?
No, we're just going to say that what's the difference between 100 and 101? So some of them want
to
say.
Okay. So he connects it to the Gemara. Doma Shana Pirko Me'a Pamim, Shana Pirko Me'a Ba'echad. Is that what we're going to say? That's what the Chasam Sof connects it to. The Gemara says, you can't compare. I got to leave. Please excuse me, Aaron Moshe. I have very little time. Okay, please mute. Everybody mute. I got to go. Okay, now. Now, back in the Gemara. So, Tana, Ba'avim Baruch Luchidu Chachamim Lanskir. This is sort of related. It says that the Chachamim didn't require us to praise Hashem for the clouds, like the Kasher Avim, he collects the clouds. Uvarucha, we did already, not Lanskir. Vimbala Haskir Maskir. If you want to mention, Yigzun Tehei. My Taima, Mishun Bloma Atre. Because it never held back. Hashem always gives it to us. Bloma Atre means never held back. But Tani Rav Yosef taught the following Braisa. It says, Va'atara Shemayim. It says, we repeat this in Shema every night and morning. He'll hold back the heavens. He says, Min ha'avim u'min aruchot. So the Brisa says, it means, like, if you don't follow the mitzvot, Shem will hold back from the clouds and from the ruchot. I tell Mir min ha'avim u'min aruchot, rain ol min ha'matar. Maybe it's referring to rain, not avim u'ruchot. Shul mir b'lo yamatar imatamur. The next clause says, lo yamatar. That's rain. Hamani mekayim v'atar d'shmayim min ha'avim u'min aruchot. So the second Brisa says that Hashem sometimes holds back avim and ruchot. And the first Brisa says, Shem never holds back Avim Ruchot. So we have a stira. So the Gemara says, Kash Ruchot Ruchot. I have a contradiction with Ruchot. The first Brisa says, Ruchot never held back. Second one says it is. Kasha Avim Avim. We have a contradiction with the clouds. So Avim Avim look Kasha. The Gemara says, there's no contradiction with the clouds. Habacharpe Habafili. Because the early clouds, before the rain, those are never held back. That's what it means, that it's never held back. Habafili. These are clouds that hang out after the rain. Those are held back. Rucho to rucho lakash. There's no stira between the ruchot. Habaruach mitsuya. The commonplace ruach that is never held back. Habaruach she'ina mitsuya. The ruach, the non-common wind, that is held back. So the Gemara says, but ruach she'ina mitsuya. So ruach she'ina mitsuya. So we say we're not going to pray for ruchot because they're never held back. But he says, but ruach she'ina mitsuya chaz lebeidare. But Ruach Sheina Metsuya, we do need the Ruach Sheina Metsuya, and that is held back, so we should mention, because we need it like the Beidari, like to help winnow the chaff from the wheat. So Efshar B'nav Mata, the Gemara says, no, it's possible to do with a sieve, so it's not crucial to have the Ruach Sheina Metsuya, so maybe we don't necessarily have to mention it. Okay, Tana, Ha'avim Baruchot Shniot Lamatar. So Tana Torah Brisa, the clouds and Ruchot, are secondary only importance to the, or secondary in benefit to the rain. In other words, they're almost as good as the rain, the Avim and the Ruchot. Eki Dami. So Amar Ula, Vitema Rebbe Yehuda, the Batar Mitra. So he's talking about the Avim and the Ruchot that come after the rain, that's almost as good as the rain. Lameimer Demal Yutahi. So the implication is it's a positive thing to have wind after the rain. But the Pasuk says in the Tokacha and Parshas Kitabo, Shem will give the rain of your earth to be like dust and dirt. But Amar Ulabi Tema Rav Yehuda Zika the Batar Mitra. That's referring to the wind that comes after the rain. In other words, the rain comes down, so you got like all the mud all over the place, and then the wind comes and blows like those little bits of mud all over the place. So we said that the wind after the rain is wonderful, but here the wind after the rain is part of the Tochacha. It sounds like it's terrible. So Lo Kasha Had Atanicha. If it comes softly, like a soft wind after the rain, that's something good. Hada atarazia, if it comes in force, that's the bad news. He says, hadamala avak, because the last one, and we have Ibai Deima Rashi takes it out, and the Gemara takes it out as well, because the same Hezber, hadamala avak, because with the strong wind, it causes the dust to go up. It's like the dust bowl, hadalomala avak, but a soft wind doesn't cause the dust to come over the whole place. But I'm Rabbi Yehuda, then Rabbi Yehuda says, Zika the Batar Mitra Kmitra, that wind after the rain is like the rain. It's almost as good as the rain. Eva the Batar Mitra Kmitra, clouds after the rain are almost as good as the rain. Shimshu the Batar Mitra Kitre Mitra, sun after the rain is like two rains. In other words, I guess, I don't know, everything blooms from the water. So the Gemara says, "Lamiuti mai." So since everything after the rain is good, what's not good after the rain? What is not good? So he says, "Lamiuti gilhei delelya," flashes of light at night, and I don't know why that's so terrible, but it's the flash of night. And the cloud, and the sun that like is poking through the cloud, that's not so great. Okay, Amarava, Ma'ale Talgulature Khamisha Mitre La'ara. That snow on the mountains is like equivalent to five rains on the earth. And it was snow on the mountains is just as good as five rains down on the earth. Shinamar, Kilashel Yumar Heve, that's Heve. Like he says the snow, actually, Heve Aretz. The Shel Gamar Heve Aretz. The Shel, he says, go down to the earth, Hashem does. The Geshem Atar, the Geshem Etroduzo. And the same thing he says, Geshem Atar and Geshem Etroduzo. So the Gemara wants to say that there's an equivalence to the Shel Gamar Heve Aretz. Shel, he says, go down to the earth. And like, and it was like, think of like the snow capped mountains, like, you know, in the Alps, the Everest, and things like that. And that's equivalent to, and then the rest of the pasuk says, Geshem is one, Matar is two, Geshem is three, and Mitrod is two. So it's five. So in other words, so it's equal. So there was the Shalag Gemar Hebei Aretz, just like he says the Shalag, go down to the earth. So too he says the same thing with the Matar, but he's got five Matars on the other end of the equation. So it's like equal to those five. But Amarava, Talga Lature, in other words, snow, Talga, the tuff changes with the Shin, so it's like Shalag. So the Talgala Turain, and Turain, you know, they have in Afghanistan, the Tora Bora Mountains. I think it must be the same word. The Tora is the mountain. Anyway, Talgala Turain, snow is beneficial for the mountains. Mitra Razulilane, strong rain for the trees is good. Mitra Nichal Peyre, a soft rain for the payroad is like the crops. Top line and Dalan Aleph. Or Pila, a Pila Parsita Tutekala Mahani Light. Or Pila is like a very light rain. Is good even for the seeds that are underneath the clod of earth. My Orpila, what's the etymology of the word Orpila? We said Orpila was very light rain. He says, Urupili. It means like rise up like seed and grow through the cracks. Pili are the cracks and Uru is rise up. He says, Va'amarava, Haitsurban Rabbanan, Dami the Parsita, the Tute Kala. He says, Surban Rabbanan, here's a nice Rashi to remember for Shas. Maybe you want to underline it, the fourth white line of Rashi. Surban Rabbanan Bachur Charif. That means a young Bachur who's sharp. That's a Surban Rabbanan. Well, Beit Tzrivan, like eggs that are like fried or, in Masechet Beitza. Tamid Chacham Zakein Lukari Surba. If he's an older Tamid Chacham, it's not called Surba. Elahu Mirabbanan Kari. Surba means like to be like cooked, but he's like hot, burning with his learning. He says, Surban Rabbanan Dami the Parsita Tzikala. A Tamid Chacham is similar to a seed that's underneath a cloud of dirt. The cave in the Navat. Once he bursts forth. Let's see Rashi, the third narrow line. Cave in the Navat. Shemachil bat zveitz v'alot olala mala. Goes higher and higher. Chacham and chacham. Kedush tashmo. Link v'gadel mala. Once his name spreads, he goes ever upwards. Excelsior. Okay. Now let's just see what's doing here. All right. I'm going to do one little story, and then we'll talk more. And I know you were interested about Talamator, which is coming up also. He's got a piece here. Well, I don't know, have so much time to do this right now. Maybe I'll do this instead. Okay. Well, I'll try to do this quickly. The Mishnah later on says, on Daf Yud, that in Eretz Israel, we begin to ask for rain on the seventh day of Mar Cheshvan. And the reason we do that is we want to give, you know, Ad Shegi Achron should be Strel in a Har Prat. In other words, the last Jew gets home on Zion Mar Cheshvan. We don't want to ask for rain before people are still in transit. So the Rav Nissen, the Ran notes, the following instruction of the Beis HaMikdash, this reason no longer seems relevant. And Aristotle should begin to ask for rain immediately after Shmini Atzeret. So if the reason they're asking, in other words, in Eretz Israel, really, they need the rain right after Shmini Atzeret. But they don't know, they hold off because people are heading back. So today we don't have a little regal, so we should begin doing it right after Shmini Atzeret. The Rani asked that question. Nonetheless, since even after the stretch of the Beis HaMikdash, there are people who travel to Yerushalayim for Yantiv, the practice of beginning of rain, some of our Cheshvan remains in place. Now, what would be the lacha of one added request for rain after Shmini Atzeret before Zion Mar Cheshvan? Let's say it's between Sukkot and Zion Mar Cheshvan, and I, in error, I say B'tein Talamatar in my private Shmona Esrei. So at first glance, it would seem it's not the time to add it, and so you have to repeat it. He's talking about in Eretz Yisrael. So Ravan Yosef suggests that in this case, the bracha should not be repeated. You need to know people who know all these tshuvas, otherwise you get the wrong answer. With Rav Avadia, you don't have to go back. The reason is the bracha is repeated is when it is repeated from rain in summer, is rain during the summer is a klala. You have to repeat it, it's not a curse. To benefit. The reason we don't do it is we're afraid that people will need to get home, but it's not an inappropriate request. That's what Rav Avadia says. Okay, that's a little bit not entirely what you want for him, but we'll get it more later on in the Gemara. Okay, I'm going to call it a day now. Nice having everybody. Let me end the recording.